Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the WEEI Roundtable.
Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
I can't take it anymore.
I'm Glenn Ordway. I'll push Johnny Most downstairs.
Featuring Greg Dickerson, Rob Bradford, and John Tomasi.
Ball is gone! Grand slam! J.D. Martinez!
The WEEI Roundtable is brought to you by Northeastern University DeMoor McKim School of Business. Now broadcasting from Jake and Joe's in Waltham. The Roundtable on WEEI.
Sure, you're going to teach me how to cast this the right way at some point.
Yeah, no, we'll get it. I mean, is that what you want me to do? Is that what you're sitting here waiting for me to do?
I actually didn't want to be the one who put a hook in the face of the number one pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. I don't think that would go too well with the organization. So you like doing this, huh?
Yeah, no, I grew up doing this in areas just like this where I'm probably not supposed to be fishing.
It's one of these things where you like playing baseball, and then once you finish playing baseball, you just, okay, this is the next best thing.
I don't think I'm of that age yet where I start thinking about, you know, those things. I mean, you know, these are just like sane moments, kind of.
Yeah.
I very rarely think about, you know, how I'm going to pitch a guy or how I'm going to get a guy out if, you know, I'm fishing. Right. Playing golf. I'm not thinking about that.
The music.
That's great. Oh God, I love it. Hey, Amon, do we have more of that? Can we play the whole thing instead?
Put this in perspective.
Yeah.
That's what NBC Sports Boston are paying athletes to do now, right? The Devin McCourtys of the world.
We were paying them back then.
Right, exactly.
We were paying them a lot. Don't you remember the friendly scoop?
I mean, yeah, of course,
hey,
right?
We were paying Beckett too.
You were?
Yes.
For what?
I think.
Oh,
we
no,
had
he a, came out to the beach once. No, you did.
Oh, okay. No, we had.
I was out there. Right. I was at the time. Him and Joel Pinheiro out at the beach. We're like 10 beers in by the time
he went. Can I tell you my favorite Josh Beckett story? We're at the beach doing a show, you know, our Sports Tonight show.
I was there.
Down at Diamond Head. Well, hopefully you weren't there for this part. So Beckett says to me, hey, I got to take a crap.
This, of course I was there. This was the question.
Well, no, hopefully you weren't upstairs.
Yeah.
Beckett says, I got to take a crap. I don't want to use one of the, you know, public bathrooms in the hotel.
No,
can
God,
I use,
no.
Can I use your room?
Ugh.
I go, yeah, sure, Josh. Here's my key. Go ahead upstairs. Go ahead and do it. Meanwhile, my wife is there, and my wife needs to go back up to the room. And I'm like, you can't go to the room. She goes, why? I go, you just can't. Don't go up to the room right now. Just wait a little while. And she's, I want to go up. I got to change. I got to do this. I got to do that. And finally, I tell her, I go, Josh Beckett is up there taking a dump in our room, and it's probably not going to be pleasant. So
What an aphrodisiac. Oh, my God.
Oh, later on that night, let me tell you.
Which, of course, spawned the question for the rest of spring.
That is so disgusting.
It spawned the question as long as we're this far down
How
the road.
How many major leaguers have taken a dump, John Tomasi, right, in your hotel room?
As long as we're this far down the road, that incident spawned the question for the entire spring training, which is, who is the most famous person to use your bathroom?
That's mine.
Right? And mine was Moby. Well, you used their bathroom.
No, whose bathroom? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person
bathroom you
used? Yeah, yes.
And who would yours be?
Me.
You? You can't do better than that?
No.
No one famous has ever used your bathroom?
Well, no, it's the reverse.
First of all,
the idea of someone famous being like, I need to use your bathroom, but it's kind of unlikely. You probably have the only story in history of that.
Moby's good.
No,
Moby's
pretty good. Misunderstanding. You used Moby's bathroom.
Oh, you used Moby's bathroom.
I'm saying the reverse, that a famous person is like, you know, Woody Allen's.
Yeah, but
like,
no one's ever used your bathroom.
I could really use, like, maybe.
Nobody famous
has
ever used your bathroom?
No.
I had Mike Dukakis use my bathroom once when I was a kid.
What is
when
this?
When I was
is
a
so
kid,
weird.
Mike Dukakis used my bathroom back in Milford when he was at my house. He was running for governor.
Is this being broadcast to a restaurant full of people trying to eat?
Which is weird because I've actually used Mike Dukakis' bathroom.
You have?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Where? At his house?
In Brookline.
Why were you at his house? Why was Mike Dukakis at my house?
That's the great thing about this conversation. This story is behind everything.
Right.
We don't have time to tell them.
Yeah,
there's a story behind the Moby thing. There's a story behind the Dukakis thing.
You were at Moby's house?
Moby's apartment, yes.
Why of all people?
Rob's the guy who punched him in the face.
Yeah. he's just the worst.
It is
musically and
it is weird. It was weird to knock on the door and have Moby answer it.
Did you know it was his place?
Yes, I was doing an interview with him.
With Moby?
Yes.
Why? I'm sorry if the story's been told a thousand times.
Not.
I don't care. I've never heard
it. I was trying to do a book on running the marathon and meeting up with people who. Famous people, because that's how books are written.
Yes.
Famous people who have unique, healthy lifestyle, live healthy lifestyles. So I had a connection through my brother to Moby. Moby's a vegan. So I said, I could get you an interview with Moby. Just go drive to his apartment in New York, and you get an interview with him. So I got there. By the time I drove there, I need to use his bathroom.
Excuse me, Moby? Can I call you Moby? Can I use your bathroom?
I don't think I ever...
Did he offer you any vegan delights?
I looked at his refrigerator and filled it up.
You looked at his refrigerator?
Yeah,
at it?
Well, he let me look at his refrigerator, yes. And yeah. The Dukakis thing was the same deal. He was part of that whole running...
Healthy lifestyle thing?
Well, I was interested because, like, how do you stay in shape when you're running for president? And his answer was heavy hands. Remember the heavy hands?
Oh, you mean the weights
on
the hands?
Yeah, so he would walk around with heavy hands.
Just like every 50-year-old woman in a mall.
So
That's what they used to do.
I went to his house, and Kitty entered the door.
Yeah. With a bottle of rubbing alcohol in her hand, yes.
No. She was very nice.
Jeez. I like Kitty. She was very nice.
No, that clearly is. That was very nice.
Anyway, this is all bringing back great memories for me. This maybe will be on the post-show podcast, all this, but yeah. So anyway, there you go.
All right. We slowly get back to baseball because it is the baseball roundtable, not the bathroom roundtable. That'll be another show for another time. We're at Jake and Joe's in Waltham. We go till 8 o'clock, and then it is Yankees and the A's. We were talking before we went to the top of the hour break or some
storylines.
Storylines for this. What do you want to see? You want to see A's? You want to see Yankees? Or do you even?
Oh, I mean Yankees for all the reasons you said.
Okay.
For all the reasons you would expect, and partly because I like the idea of if the Red Sox are going to win the World Series, ideally this would have ended with the Cubs. They're out, so we can't have that anymore. But if you could go through Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, and win the World Series after winning 108 games, there will be no question that you belong among the best teams of all time. And if you're the Red Sox, that's kind of a cool thing to shoot for. And we're talking about storylines. The Yankees make that more interesting, more compelling. All about what's compelling. Also, unlike my colleague, I happen to like New York City.
You're not tired of it?
I've been there a million times. So not in a while. So
It's just dirty, the people there.
That's why I stay at the Meadowlands.
That's true.
I do.
That is true.
No, you do not.
Yeah, I do.
What, when I was Trenton booked? Was Newark booked?
No, when we were there, a couple weeks ago, when I drive there, and sometimes I like to drive there because I just like to, I don't have to want to rely on Uber or whatever.
You know, you can take the train.
I know, but
that takes you right to the city.
I understand, but get to the park. I like to be in control of my own destiny.
Yes.
And so if you're going to do that, you know, having a car in New York City is terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
Right.
It's Meadowlands, a straight shot to Yankee Stadium. It's very nice.
The straight shot part is nice. The very nice part.
I mean, it's just a hotel. I can walk around without, you know, chaos.
I can understand Tomasi or, say, Reamer or Hannibal, somebody at WEEI.com, staying in the Meadowlands, trying to save the company
money. That's what I do, too.
But you're the guy.
Oh, no. Here's something you need to know.
Oh.
No one saves more money for Entercom than Bradford.
Really?
That is not a lie.
Well, that's why he stays in
sometimes to lengths that I would question personally.
Well, for 10 straight years, I've been doing it. And Alex Speer was actually the godfather of saving money. And
I curse him every time I go to book a hotel. And I'm like, oh, I can't just stay at the nice Marriott
anymore. I hate those people.
Because Alex started price lining everything.
Now
I got to stay at the Fleabag for $40 a night.
Here's the only time I'll mention the Bruins and Capitals. I think the Bruins were playing the Caps. Maybe it was in the playoffs, and DJ Bean was covering the Bruins for us. And DJ was a young buck. He was younger than young now. And Alex hooked him up, say, hey, you can go to Washington, go ahead. He made him stay in Virginia and take a bus. Take a bus to Washington.
Yeah, that sounds like Alex.
And then a subway.
He's like, I'm from Northern Virginia. It's a
it's
nice
easy.
Ride.
It's easy. Yeah,
didn't Petralia, like
55 minutes.
Didn't Petralia used to drive down and
his
sleep
deal.
In his car?
Yeah,
or
but
sleep
he,
in somebody's
he, liked,
house,
he liked doing that, though. He liked doing that.
Really? Yeah. No, nobody likes doing that.
Some people do.
All right.
So anyway, I want Oakland. You guys want New York.
Okay, but tonight, who's the tougher? Well, you know what? Let me forward this.
The Yankees are the tougher team.
What? No. Who's the tougher matchup for the Red Sox?
Yankees.
You agree?
I actually think the A's
I think
are,
it's the A's.
And Rob brings up a good point that their bullpen has not been as lights out because they're so worn down, which makes sense. But there is something about that relentlessness of that A's team.
They are.
Whereas
they are gritty.
The Yankees – under Boone this year, I know they won 100 games, so it's crazy
you,
to say.
Do you trust
but
the Yankees' toughness?
There have been moments where they're sort of not there. They're right. Sort of not on the same page. I could see them, and the A's have nothing to lose
right.
Whatsoever. Like, wherever they go,
no
one expects
on
anything.
Yeah.
There is no pressure on them. I could see the Yankees being consumed by this a little bit this postseason. Stanton's first postseason with them or ever. You know, Judge obviously is coming back from the injury. Only has, I think, one homer since he came back. There are enough questions about the external stuff that those guys will face that the A's scare me because they're not going to bring any of that baggage.
But, Rob, you can look at it on the other side, at least I think, that you look and you say, well, the Yankees have played in the spotlight or under the spotlight all year long, and the A's have just played in front of 7,000 people at the Coliseum.
Yeah, but they had to. I mean, they had to overcome a lot.
I do.
But
think,
as you said, there's no pressure.
Well, it goes to, and the pressure thing can be overstated. But I do buy into this.
That's right. There's no pressure in the playoffs. I forgot about
that.
No,
but listen, if you're at home and you have your fans cheering for you and you're doing well out of the gate, the pressure is not hard. It's not bad pressure. For a young team. The problem 2 years ago with the Red Sox, you had a young team. You had guys in the playoffs for the first time. You go to Cleveland, and all of a sudden they were smacked in the face by a wave of fandom at the Cleveland Park. They were not expecting it. They admitted it later. They were put on their heels. They said, wait a second. This isn't like the regular season. It doesn't matter if they were throwing out Josh Tomlin or whoever it was. That does have an impact. So if the Red Sox faced the A's in that setting – I do think that it might have an effect on the A's if the Red Sox jump out. I will say this, though. I wouldn't be surprised if they play the A's for the A's to win that first game because Mike Fiers will probably pitch. He pitched well against them, against the Tigers. He is a legitimate – he's been pitching very well. He's a legitimate starting pitcher. So it's – I could see them – I don't think they'll win the
and
series.
And you could see Sale potentially not being
right. Survived. But the why I think the Yankees are a tougher out is because of the home runs. It's the home runs. Is where –
Oakland hits them at a pretty fair pace. Not like the Yankees,
pace. No, but not like the Yankees.
No,
especially
I know that.
The Yankees, and this is what we saw last year with Houston. What a difference hitting home runs in the postseason makes. Mm. Where with the Red Sox, it was, oh, can they string together five singles and score a run? And then here comes Alex Bregman or Altuve, and all of a sudden, boom, home run, forget about it, game over. That's how it worked. And even all the way to the end when Bregman hits the home run off Sale. Like, home runs play, they play any time, but they particularly play in the postseason where every single run is important.
I have a thought on this, but I'm going to hold on.
Oh, you
nice.
Hold that.
What
we will
tease.
Get right to it when we come back. And speaking of offense, I want to talk about the Red Sox prolific offense. Will it transition from the regular season to the playoffs? John Tomasi, Rob Bradford from WEEI.com. I'm Greg Dickerson. The Baseball Roundtable until 8 o'clock, and then it's the aforementioned A's and Yankees in the AL wildcard game. We're right here at Jake and Joe's great place to watch the MLB playoffs, opening night hockey, baseball, Thursday night football tomorrow, whatever. Great food, great turkey tips. It's Jake and Joe's in Waltham, our Baseball Roundtable here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Areas just like this where I'm probably not supposed to be fishing.
Let's get you back to the WEEI Roundtable, broadcasting from Jake and Joe's in Waltham with Greg Dickerson, Rob Bradford, and John Tomasi on WEEI.
Chris is up there, and Yesterday, the bullpen was okay, but it was indoors. It was more about mechanics and just getting loose. And right now, he's throwing a bullpen outside, so that's good. You know, he felt that he needed to go out there and feel the mound and obviously be outside and just don't throw a bullpen in a cage. It's not throwing the bullpen in the cage is not perfect. So he's out there and he'll be ready for Friday. With the bullpen, I've been saying it all along, I'm comfortable with it.
Liar! Liar! You are lying to all of us, Alex Cora. And I don't blame you.
I don't think he's lying.
100% confident in Chris Sale and his health. Comfortable with the bullpen.
When you're in the middle,
liar.
When you're in the middle of it, you have a different perspective. Like, I'm in the middle of the show right now. Yeah. I feel like it's the best show of all time.
That's right. But if you're driving around, say if you're Kirk Minahan, you think it's terrible.
Pooping in Mike Dukakis' house. What's going on?
Again, we're in a restaurant. People are trying to eat.
No one's paying attention. They're watching the Stanley Cup.
This is like
being skated
around.
Like anybody's listening.
It's loose.
Do you think anybody's listening to us here, John?
I hope not.
Watch.
I hope not.
Who
That's
would
all
like
I'll
$1,000? First person to walk up to the table, John Tomasi will give him $1,000.
We've had T-shirt assaults.
Yes.
See, look, nobody's even paying attention. No one's walking up here.
If he said T-shirt.
By the way, before I get to your point that you were going to mention before we went to break, I don't remember what it was.
It'll come to me.
Hopefully you'll remember it, or maybe Rob will remember it. I would be remiss if I did not congratulate the station for a great ratings book during the summer, and specifically congratulate the morning show, Kirk and Callahan, for being number one in the summer book and winning the month of September. So congratulations.
Who did
to,
more summer shows, me or Kirk?
I would
That's
say
an honest question.
I would. Because
I started
I
late in the
50,
summer,
50.
So it's probably close. We're probably about six each.
So Kirk should probably give you half of his bonus.
That sounds reasonable.
That's why I look at
that. Sounds fair.
I was on two pivotal shows, I think, at over 30s.
Yeah,
I think.
Really?
One, I was screaming at him about Tomasi.
Yep. That was a big moment.
That was a big moment. Yes, it was.
Actually,
I told my wife, this man has my back.
And then the other one was when it would be the interview known as the one I asked about Dez Bryant to Tom Brady.
Yes, that's what that interview is memorable
and
for.
I mean, it just happened the next
the
question
quote.
Was about Alex Guerrero, but people really remember the Dez Bryant question.
That was the one that set him off.
So my apologize. When did you get dropped back into this whole thing?
What is this whole thing
this,
that you speak of?
These big letters that are right behind.
When
you,
did I come back to EEI?
Yeah.
April.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I feel like I wanted to say right when the ratings book started in summer ratings book because this was all
I did
you.
Do quite a bit of work during the
did.
Summer.
I know you did.
Not just on the morning show, but did some in the afternoon, a little bit in the middays, weekends, of course.
The 5 to 7 time slot on Saturdays. I think we won that.
I'm sorry. I think it's the 11 to 3 or 12 to 4 time slot.
I feel like
the Trenny and
I was going to say, do you have a torch that you can pass to him?
It's
already been passed. Mark James has it. Now.
But he gambled it away.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he lost it on the over-under of the Southwest Missouri
by the way,
Texas State game.
I saw him over at Nesson, and I said, I heard the Pittsburgh, what was it, ECU game. Were you on? Oh, you weren't on.
No,
oh,
was that
Buck
last
was on.
Week?
Yeah, so he.
Oh, that was last week.
Yeah,
okay,
so Mark James had his lock of Mark James.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah. Absolutely
you get to
quadruple garbage.
Who spoke more? Because that's difficult. Who talked more in that four-hour time slot? Was it Mark James or was it Buck? And specifically, who talked more about themselves in 4 hours? Was it Buck or James?
That's a tough one.
Was it like 50-50 split?
I'm going to say it was
Buck. Was there a lot of overtalk?
I feel like Mark was deferential to Buck.
Oh, yeah, sure. I would say, yeah. I mean, Buck has more stories about himself. Mark James just talks a lot.
And
but he's
I
not
am
like me, me,
Mark
me.
James. Right. That's Mark with a C
Mark
James.
With a C.
But he had the lock of – he had his lock. He was talking about his gambling.
Right.
And he had his lock. I mean, this was the lock. This was the bet the kids, bet the house.
Did he say he got it from his guy down, his boy down in Florida?
Yeah, his guy.
Some shyster down in Miami.
But it was – I remember the conversation because it was Pitt versus the Central Florida.
Yep.
And what's the What's the initials for a sentence?
UCF.
Eamon, were you producing this?
I was.
Yeah. So UCF. So it's bizarre because number one, it was like a gambling show where he was like, "This is my lock. This is my lock." And Buck starts going, "I've never heard of UCF. What's UCF? What's UCF?"
Buck had never heard of UCF.
No, Eamon, am I right, like Eamon?
100% had no idea what UCF was.
He had no idea. He's like this isn't what they called back in the 80s. You know, so like,
UCF was undefeated.
Right,
there
exactly.
There were huge stories.
He had never.
Scott Frost was their coach. He went to Nebraska.
Yes,
it was an enormous.
I know all
story.
That.
Guess what? I don't actually know any of that.
None of that.
So I'm gonna, I know what UCF stands for.
So he said Pittsburgh, the lock of the whatever.
Century. It was the Pete Shepard Memorial Lock of the Week.
And so I paid attention to that game.
Of course you did.
And
yeah.
As I saw Mark and Inessen, I said, "Mark, they lost by 45 points." Pittsburgh. He's right. Like, "I know." But I made it up on the Patriots the next day.
Of course you did. Of course
almost.
You did.
That's how he's like, almost. I'm like, this is the Mike Binansky method of gambling. I almost made it up.
Bingo. Yeah.
No,
bingo.
It's all the same. What,
that was like me playing Daily Fantasy. Yes.
Whether it's Mark James, whether it's Mutt, whether it's Pete Shepard, it's always the same. How'd you do? Well, I broke even. How'd you do? I lost a couple of games, but then
I
made it back up.
Their wives are listening.
I only lost like 50.
Yes.
Now, Marcus, that's the thing about he's not married, so he doesn't have to hide it from anybody,
he
does in general.
Who would you bet on tonight?
A's and Yankees?
Yeah.
The degenerate gambler
I
don't know what the money line is, but I would bet A's. I would bet the A's.
Really?
Just because you make more money out of it.
Because you call them gritty and gutty and scrappy.
Yes, because you can make more money out of it.
Okay.
That's the idea.
Do you think they're going to win? That's what
I actually do. I actually think they'll win. I think they have a very good chance of winning. Yes.
In Yankee Stadium,
yes. And I agree partially because of what John just brought up before, that there's a lot of pressure
on this
plus
team right
now. You talk about the Mark James lock of the week.
I would
nail it down. Thank you very much.
In the newspaper as a kid, it would be driving me nuts because I had no idea what it meant.
What the plus 180 meant.
That and the baseball pitching odds in the Herald when I was a kid, I was just like, I do not understand. All I know is that Greg Maddux is a minus 220 every time he pitches. I don't know what that
means. I took personal offense when Oil Can Boyd was not favored.
You didn't know what that meant.
I didn't know what it meant.
But you took offense to it.
Yes, and then I went out to my bookie in Essex. Yes.
Your Essex guy.
Yeah, my Essex guy.
It's like we bet on Equestria.
Yes.
Kind of a sad thing.
we bet on the America's Cup.
Here's how bad
we
things
bet
were.
On the Clam Flats.
Here's how bad things were in Milford. We used to, it wasn't exactly a bet, but in our local newspaper, the Milford Daily News, there was a high school football contest, and you basically would pick high school football games.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I guess, nowadays, as opposed to like 30 years ago.
Oh, no, that's
sort of.
No, that's what
I don't know.
Always do that.
But still now?
Every local paper does.
Oh, yeah, you know, we
had. Still now? I thought that was sort of.
The Attleboro Sun Chronicle.
Not appropriate.
Everybody knows Mark Farinella from his days covering the Patriots. He had beat Fearless. And if you beat Fearless Farinella picking NFL games, you would get a T-shirt.
Okay.
This is the precursor to the boom sauce.
But the high school games, is it still appropriate to wager on high school games in newspapers now?
Oh, it's definitely
it
not appropriate.
Okay, I didn't think it was. It was very appropriate 30, 35 years ago.
Which remind me, you bring up the Milford paper?
Milford Daily News.
So Chris Filani, we're occasionally on with Chris Filani.
Milford guy.
Yes, yes. I'm going to get to that in a second.
All right.
But Chris Filani was legitimately very upset. There was the top 8 most famous people from Milford.
Yep.
You were on the list.
I know, yes.
And
yes.
Chris Filani was not.
Ooh, ouch.
He was.
There were some, I will say this, as someone who grew up in
Chris
the town.
Chris Colabello.
There were some names on that list that I said, who the hell is that?
And where is Chris Filani?
It should have been on the list.
Really?
There was like some guy from the 1870s. Why is he famous? What did he do? If I didn't know who he was, how could he be famous?
Which was a bigger aphrodisiac for your wife, that or Josh Beckett using your bathroom?
Josh Beckett taking relieving himself in my bathroom. She actually voted for Howie Long.
Howie Long was on the list.
Yeah, he should be.
I think he won. No, he should not be.
Oh, because Charlestown?
He was a carpetbagger.
Yeah,
he lived in Charlestown and got shipped out to Milford because he was getting in trouble too much. And Charlestown, he was not one of us. You kidding me? I'd take Colabello.
Why would you
or
not
take
Howie Long.
Because he's not from Milford. He stopped in there. He never mentions Milford either. You have struck a nerve with me, Tomasi. He never, ever, anytime he brings up his youth or whatever, he never talks about Milford. It's always about Charlestown. If it wasn't for Milford, you'd be on the street somewhere instead of doing Skechers commercials.
Fraud.
Be lying
if
in a gutter
somewhere.
If we had
sound of Kirk yelling fraud, I would play
I feel
it
like
right
John,
now.
I feel like John is like turned the page to 6 a.m.
I'm
ready.
He has mailed it in like for the last half hour, and I don't blame him, by the way.
I've talked. But look, this is, look at this. Kavanaugh versus Blasey Ford.
That's all he's doing.
Kavanaugh's lies.
That's all he's doing.
I'm making notes for the morning.
Meanwhile,
during the show. During the break,
Rob is over here with what was that name of that
Durbin
site?
Feldman.
No, Roto World. Is that the site you were talking about? On Roto World? You were talking about Durbin Feldman.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, all kinds of sites.
Doing prep for tomorrow. Yeah. He's doing Christine Blasey Ford.
I'll be on NESN at 1 o'clock this morning.
And Rob, John will be on tomorrow morning on Kirk and Callahan at 6 a.m.
How much Durbin Feldman will talk will you get?
Not a lot.
I asked you off the air what the percentage of the conversation was going to be tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of it will be the latest bombshell allegations from Fox News. Blasey Ford's credibility.
You crazy liberal.
She's a liar.
You crazy
She's
liberals.
A liar. She lived in a studio apartment with only one door. She lies. Anyway, that's a non sequitur for tomorrow.
Did you want to bring up? I said we were going to
talk
about
I'll tell
the
you
Red
what
Sox
I was going to bring
offense.
Up. Here we go. Before we have 1 minute before break.
We do.
What I was going to bring up.
How the hell do you know that? Nobody told me that.
I keep a clock.
Who's going to tell me that?
Otherwise, I keep an internal
otherwise
clock, unlike the rest of you.
We're 5 minutes late, but who's counting?
Okay, yeah. What does it matter?
Otherwise, it's going to be the dreaded double T's, and we don't want that.
All right, do the 1 minute.
Let's do it when we come back.
Ooh, the double T's.
Can we do that, Eamon?
We can do that.
All right, we're 5 minutes late, so we'll – if
that was a joke. You guys do what you want.
No. Well, no, that's – That's
no,
more
I like
for
the double T.
That's more for the Ordway Callahans of the world, not for us schlubs. Hey, thank you very much. John Tomasi, Rob Bradford, Greg Dickerson. Final 15 minutes or so of the baseball roundtable, and we will actually, maybe, possibly, talk a little baseball to end the show as we lead you in to the American League wild card game between the Yankees and the Oakland A's. We come to you from Jake and Joe's in Waltham here on Sports Radio WEEI.
And this is what you call the big league duel, right?
Let's get you back to the WEEI Roundtable, broadcasting from Jake and Joe's in Waltham with Greg Dickerson, Rob Bradford, and John Tomasi on WEEI.
There at Jake and Joe's, we wind down 4 hours of the baseball roundtable. Two for the three of us, Rob Bradford, John Tomasi. I've already forgotten what you were going to mention.
Well, I haven't said it yet, so
okay,
you have no idea.
Well, I forget the time.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back, because I assume everyone who's listening now has been listening faithfully for the last 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So you'll remember about 40 minutes ago, Rob Bradford noted that the Yankees are a tougher matchup because they can take you deep. They can take you out of the park.
Right, I forgot about that. That was a good
and
point by
to
you.
To that, Rob. I would say the Oakland A's rank second in the American League in home runs behind the Yankees, 227, despite playing in one of the most pitcher-friendly parks in baseball in Oakland. They do not have that short right field like the Yankees have, and they manage to have up and down their lineup, not just Chris Davis, a bunch of guys hit
Lowry,
homers.
Piscotty.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Olson, 29. Lowry, 23. Chapman, 24. Piscotty, 27. Obviously, Chris Davis with 48.
Can I count
so
to that?
So I would say that the A's are every bit as dangerous as a home run hitting team as the Yankees. You now have the floor.
Tonight they will be because they're playing at Yankee Stadium. But the Yankees, they play in a bigger park. Yes, they hit home runs. But if you go into Yankee Stadium, you have those guys in the middle of the order, and their swings are like Aaron Judge. Hey, I'm going to hit a fly ball to right field. Boom, there it is. I don't know if Chris Davis is that way. I don't know.
Oh, Chris, they have made a point in Oakland of finding hitters whose swing paths match up with the dimensions of that park, and that is
right.
Not by accident.
No, I know, but
that
it's guys still
can
more
hit home
different.
Runs there.
Yes, yes.
It's still – if you can hit them in Oakland.
I like your research and your point. We'll just have to
and
see.
And it had nothing to do
you
with
have to stay tuned.
We just won't know. That's,
with
that's
Judge
why
Kavanaugh.
They play the game.
So I cared about this show tonight, too. I just want to make that clear.
I have just found out something else that you're going to discuss tomorrow, John.
Yeah.
I think this will be topic number one.
Okay.
The Bruins and Capitals. I think that will be the source of
score?
Most discussion. 24 seconds into the game. TJ Oshie scores, and the Bruins season is now over.
What did I tell you? It all hinges on Rask.
About the goaltending.
I told you that.
It's all about the goaltending. You have to have good goaltending to win the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That had to have been the first shot of the season.
24 seconds into the game.
Didn't the Bruins have a year like in the eight?
No one cares.
They had a year where they scored off the opening face.
This is like Dwight Evans hitting the home run in the first pitch.
All right, real quickly, who wins tonight? Tomasi?
A's.
Yankees.
Yankees? Okay. You got the A's. You got the Yankees.
You got to break the tie.
I got the A's.
Oh, well.
Whoever wins, whether it's the Yankees or A's, do the Red Sox win the ALDS?
Yes. Because they're home.
Because they're home, that's
it. Yeah, I think the home field advantage means something.
Yeah, the Red Sox will win the World Series if they can get past Houston.
So if they get to the World Series, they have a chance to actually
win
it.
There is one team in the postseason that can beat the Red Sox. It is the Houston Astros.
It's the Cleveland Indians. I will give it to them, too. I think the Red Sox lose this series because Chris Sale can't get past five tomorrow. Thanks to everybody here at Jake and Joe's. More Rob Bradford, John Tomasi online, WEI.com. Tomasi, tomorrow morning.
Oh, my goodness. Stop it, everybody.
Kirk
stop.
And Callahan.
Oh, no.
Baseball up next. A's and Yankees here on Sports Radio WEI.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.